Good morning to everybody, and I would like to say a very special good morning and hello again to my dear and close friend, Reverend Richard Butler, who has been an acquaintance and a friend of mine for a long time. He's been down a lot of roads and a lot of paths and a lot of battles. I would like to say good morning again to a dear friend of mine for many years, Pastor Newman Britton, who is here from California. You're a friend of mine, a racial kindred, and a teacher of the Most High. We live in exciting times, though the majority of the people walk around with sorrow on their face, the stone-faced ones I call them. If they would smile, their face would probably crack. Because of the conditions that have been placed upon them, because they have not sought Yahweh. And when Jacob, Israel, the true Israelites, depart from the truth of Yahweh, they bring themselves into submission to aliens and to an alien culture of slavery and involuntary servitude. And Yahweh has warned us through his prophets. And he has told us many times that if we depart from him, he will depart from us. And we will pay a terrible consequence to the land. But there is also a moving across the land. And that is the Spirit of the Most High, who is Yahweh our Father. He is not our God. He is a God to everyone else, but to Jacob, Israel, he is our Father, being blood of blood, flesh of flesh, bone of bone, and of the spirit energy, that we are a heavenly people. And this Spirit is coming across this land. And the more they oppress our people, as we discussed last night, I want to see oppression put upon the backs of our people. I want to see our young men not have the opportunity to be employed. Not too many of you, you may wonder and say that is terrible. No, it is not terrible, because with oppression comes anger. And with oppression comes them to seek the court of last resort, which is their racial identity. And with that anger of not being able to have a livelihood, to be able to go out and to have a family, these young warriors harden their heart and understand that our victory can only come through battle. This will not be won at any voting booth. Yahweh is not putting this up for a vote. His vote was already recorded through his law to his people. And what I would like to talk about this morning, I would like to talk about a lecture here which is entitled The Keeper of the Keys. Because the Keeper of the Keys is a very special thought that I've had for a long time. Because there are keepers of these keys that are still present and sit here among you, that are out across this land. And these Keeper of the Keys takes us back to the basics. And that's what the title of this whole meeting is about, Back to the Basics, in memory of Dr. Wesley Swift, the originator of Church of Jesus Christ Christian. It takes us back to Bernard Compray. It takes us back to Reverend Colonel William P. Gale. And these men were giants in the land. These men were teaching this racial truth of two-seed line racial identity when there was prosperity in the minds of the fools of this land. Back in the late 50s and early 60s was the greatest form of prosperity, of less taxation and taking home of personal wealth in the history of our people of this country. And when you went out to talk to people about the Jews, and these people had income, and they had money, and they had two or three cars in their driveway, and they had a cabin, and they lived in a three-bedroom ranch house, and they were a simple laborer in the land, and they had clothes, and they went on vacation. It was very difficult to bring this message forth that there was trouble in the land. Because these people thought they had prosperity. But there is no such thing as material prosperity in comparison to the spiritual and the understanding prosperity that Yahweh gives to us with the knowledge of Him and who we are and what real prosperity is to a race of people under His laws. And it was very difficult because these people were giants, as was Reverend Butler and Newman Britton. And they went out through all adversity trying to bring this truth out across the land. And the ridicule was very strong against that in many sectors. But they never faltered. And they never weakened. And they did not water down this racial nationalistic truth of Jacob Israel, of our Western European kindred blood. And they took strong rebuke, tremendous rebuke, to bring forth the truth that still is spoken across this land and in this very truth and in this church that we stand in the city today. And this is in tribute to these men, these giants, who came before you, who walked proud, who did not falter or weaken in their thoughts and their understanding of what it's going to take to bring back our true liberty under Yahweh. And they were keeper of the keys. And they were keeper of the real keys. And many of you, you have understood and you see things, and you understand how it is sometimes when you have a keeper of the keys and he has a key ring, and that key ring is on a belt, or it's on a special little mechanism that is hooked onto your belt, and there's all sorts of keys on there, isn't there? And those keys are for all kinds of different things. And it's terrible that we have to live in a society where you need all these keys with all these locks to protect things because of thievery and because of terrible situation like that, isn't it? But these keys, there's many different keys on the key ring for a keeper of the keys. And with this keeper of the keys, we've got to understand and go back and realize that the first keeper of the keys that came in the flesh was Adam. And Adam was taught by Yahweh our Father who he was. And he was the first priest. What? The first priest. What? Upon this earth. And if you go back into the Cave of Treasures and the true writings in the Ethiopic of the book of Adam and Eve, you will find that Adam was the first priest. And to show you how special we are on this earth, our ancestor Adam, named all the creatures upon this earth. Hello, he named all the creatures upon this earth. It wasn't another race that named the creatures. It was our race that named the creatures to our father Adam. You think that isn't a special situation? Ask these other races how many animals and what they called and what they named upon this earth, and there can't be anything because Adam named them all. Because you see, Adam was the son of Yahweh. And if you go back into Luke chapter 3, you will see that Adam was the son of the Most High. And he was his son of blood, bone, and flesh, and of the spirit energy of the Most High. And Adam was our great, 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 great grandfather through the lineage of Shem and through Seth. And he was the keeper of the keys. And this was 7,500 years ago, approximate, where Yahweh said what? He brought Adam to the terra firma, and he brought him here as a priest. And if you read and find out and realize, this is why Satan was so angry, whom you call Lucifer. He was jealous of Adam because the archangels were made from fire. But they didn't have the flesh and the bone and the blood. And that's why he said on that day, you shall judge angels because you are heavenly and earthly, O Israel. And that 7,500 years ago, when he told Adam, when he brought him here, when Adam fell, he said, "Don't worry, Adam, I'll come and get you in 5.5 days to redeem you with my blood. You are in this cave." And if you read and order this book through Aryan nations called the Cave of Treasures, you will find out that Adam and Eve was in a cave, and he said, "I too shall come and be born of a virgin woman, and I shall be born in a cave as you are in a cave, Adam. There isn't anything that you are going to suffer that I'm not going to suffer, and I will come and redeem you in 5.5 days. And Adam, he was overjoyed because he thought that that was 5 times of the coming up and going down to the sun. He thought he was going to get off easy. But he didn't know that that day was 1,000 years to Yahweh. And exactly 5,500 years from the time Adam was here, a great achievement, one of the greatest things that has ever happened in heaven and earth happened. Yahweh came to redeem his people in a flesh body as Yahshua. And he was born in a cave outside Bethlehem. He was not born in a manger with animals, as the Jews call Ugoim. And he redeemed our blood, because Adam's body was taken by Shem, and it was taken till Golgotha, and it was buried. And in a time to come for the redemption of our race, Yahshua, when he was crucified by the Jews, not the Romans, not the Italians, was taken to Golgotha, and he was hung on the tree of the cross directly over the body of Adam where Shem had buried him, and his blood and his water went down upon the ground upon his son Adam and redeemed him of that sin. And this is a mystery that has been withheld for a long time from his people. That it wasn't just a spiritual redemption. It was the physical redemption of the blood and the water of the Most High Yahshua Yahweh that went onto the ground, and underneath him was that body of Adam where Shem had buried it. And Shem was the Prince of Salem, the Prince of Peace. But this Keeper of the Keys has many keys. He may have a key ring and there's a real small key on it. And if you take that real little key and you go to a door and you open that door, and it's got a real little lock, see? Because you see, these keys are wisdom. And you unlock that little lock and you open up that little door, and it exposes to you the corrupt Federal Reserve System that the Jews own and operate. But you see, that's mundane. Because we know what Jews are, and that they control money, and through the control of money, they control nations. Is this correct? And then you make, on that key ring, you might find another key a little bigger, see? And you go find that lock that it fits, and that's a little bigger door. And you go and put that key in, and you turn that lock, and you open it up, and there it exposes what? It exposes the creation of war. And how rich men plan wars and poor men fight, and how nations are brought into subservience under Jew money through war. And a lot of people, they got a key ring and they got a bunch of little keys on them, and they're starting to wake up and realize about the money system, don't they? And as you start going through that keychain and looking for the doors and the locks to put these keys in, the bigger it comes to, there's a great big key on that keychain that's made of gold. And that doesn't fit a door, it fits a gate. And when you take that huge gold key that someone gives to you, and you stick it in that lock, and you open it, and the gate's open, and there's Yahweh and the knowledge of who you are and what this is all about. That it is a racial war that we are involved in, not a political or religious war. And that race war has been from the time of Adam brought upon this earth to the time that we stand right here at Church of Jesus Christ Christian, and it will be a race war until this war is finalized, and every Jew shall die in the United States of America and throughout the world, for Enoch wrote it, and Yahweh said, "Enoch, write these words so they shall be fulfilled, that there shall not be a man or a woman or a child of Cain that should be left upon the face of the earth for the deeds they have done to his people." And I think that's wonderful, don't you? And as we talk about these keys and the keeper of the keys, you become a keeper of the keys. And you all have a keychain. But you see, it's an honor for Yahweh, through His divine spirit and energy, He allows you to gain knowledge. He allows you to put more keys upon your keychain. And the more keys you have, the more subservient you are. And He says then, when you obey Me, My laws and commandments, you are no longer My friend, My servant, you are My friends. I don't want to be a servant to My Father, I want to be His friend. And when you find out who you are and what this is all about, you don't walk away from it. You grab your battle axe, and you stay in the first wave. And I will tell you this, that when Israel went to war, when they knew who they were, and Yahweh says, now, David, when I go through the mulberry trees, you shall know that I am going forth before you into battle. You go against your enemies and you annihilate them. And I will guarantee you that those young men of valor in battle, they fought to get in line to see who could carry the battle axe and lead the first wave. Because it said that David took the blood of his enemies and put them in his sandals and danced in their blood. And the land was at peace. And Yahweh was lifted up as the Most High. He was the commander-in-chief. He was the president. He was number one. And that is why He said, you write these things in your home. You keep them in your heart. You speak them every day. You teach them every day. Because you are keepers of the keys. And don't drop the keychain. For Yahweh said, if you drop this keychain of understanding, it will be like a dog going back to eat its own vomit. And this is what we have. We have this truth and understanding that is still being taught from the time of Adam, even on into the secular time that we call here in modern history, by Dr. Swift, Burton R. Compre, Reverend Colonel William P. Gale, Reverend Butler, Reverend Newman Bitton, and others who brought forth this racial nationalistic truth of Jacob Israel. Because everyone is so Judaized with this Judaistic Christianity out here, this Roman Catholicism, they think a priest is holier than thou. When in actuality, a true priest in the house of Israel is a teacher of His truth. He is a teacher. He's not a BSer. And that's why He said in that day, awaken, O sword, against the pastors who have scattered My sheep. You shall seek them out and you shall kill them. And even the parents of some of them said that they will seek out their own son who are doing this and have done this and shall run him through with the sword. Is this correct? It is written, and it will be done. So what we have today, we meet here at Church of Jesus Christ Christian in memory of the Dr. Wesley Swift, one of the greatest teachers of this racial nationalistic Jacob Israel message. Handed down to his predecessor, Reverend Richard Butler, to carry forth this truth for this church. And if you would open with me to the book of Matthew, for those of you who brought your books with you, you can open up to the book of Matthew 16. I don't like to refer to this as the Bible because that's a Catholicistic term. I just like to refer to it as the books. But for some strange reason, these people in Rome think they did us a big favor by giving us a few things to read. But if you go into Matthew 16:19, Matthew is speaking, and he walked with the Most High. And in Matthew 16:19, we got to think of the keeper of the keys. And we have to ask these questions because it's extremely important at this time in history. What are these keys that we spoke about? Who are they given to? And what is the responsibility of having these keys? Well, Matthew 16:19 states, and Yahshua was speaking because Simon Peter had asked him some questions. And Yahshua said, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens, and whatsoever you loosen on the earth shall be loosened in the heavens. And he said, I will give you these keys. And I will tell you that the most important key to a Western European ancestral individual is the key of knowing who Yahweh his Father is, and that we are the true lost sheep of the house of Jacob, Israel, in the earth. And it will transform your life into a complete new bottle, and new wine in a new bottle. It will give you a different perspective of everything that is taking place around you and to you. And if it doesn't, you have missed the boat. And I will give unto you, Peter, and he is talking not only to Simon Peter, he is talking to you, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in the heaven. And whatsoever you let loose on the earth shall be loosened in the heavens, because as it is in the heavens, so shall it be on the earth, because our true time and our true calendar is sidereal. It's called the pictorial. It's called the heavenly. It is not geographical as modern society has, the Justonian calendar, geographical time coming through Greenwich, which is man's time. Because we are Zanoni. We are the children of the stars. And we are children of Yahweh. And you can take that Catholicistic calendar and this time equation of Greenwich, which is man, and it isn't going to do any good. And if you have read of the writings of Enoch, you will find that our months are supposed to be 30 days. Times 12 is 360, which is a perfect circle where no one knows where it starts or where it ends, which is Yahweh. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, say Yahweh. I change not. Well, let's talk about the responsibility of these keys. And who are these keys given to? These keys aren't given to the Nakash, the reptile and race of Jews upon the earth, that Peter says is our half-brothers, that Kit Whelan says are our friends, the Baal movement of here, sowing derision throughout alleged identity, saying that they are identity, and I'll tell you what they are doing. They are blaspheming not only the Most High, but they are bringing insult and injury to giants like Dr. Wesley Swift and Bernard Compre and Reverend William P. Gale and Reverend Butler and Reverend Newman Britton and everyone who teaches this racial nationalistic message. And Yahweh shall come out from among them and be not partakers in their evil deeds. And I do not like them. And they know I do not like them. And they are the Baal movement. People say, that's a hard thing. That's hard. You know, they're doing some good. But Yahweh just doesn't want some good. You don't teach 60% of the truth and 40% lies. And there's no Jew on this earth, my half-brother. And the only good Jew I've ever known of is buried.
Amen.
and I hope there's a whole bunch of good Jews real soon. Now, what is your responsibility as a keeper of the keys? I will guarantee you it will be persecution. That will be one of the first attacks that will come against you, will be persecution. And Yahshua told you that they shall what scourge you? Some of you they shall kill. And we can talk about Gordon Call, and we can talk about many men who have been murdered and killed. They will scourge you and they shall cast you into prisons. And they shall try to destroy you in any way they can. And I'm telling you to be a keeper of the keys and to walk in this light and walk in this truth. You are heading for the greatest battle of your life that you have ever imagined. And I will tell you this, that the victory will be sweet. And it will be sweeter than any honey you'll ever find on the surface of this earth. Because I foresee a day that our racial Jacob Israel people and their children shall rejoice, and the fruits of the land shall be in their pocket, and they shall own their land, and they shall rejoice in Yahweh, and there will be no stealing and no lying, and there will be prosperity and health, and there will be happiness, and there will not be a Canaanite Jew in the house of Yahweh, and all the aliens and the mongrels will be gone, and they'll either be dead or they're going back to their own land. And it is hell victory. It is hell victory already, and it is His victory. And this responsibility that you have is to teach. If you are going to be a keeper of the keys, and you better understand with that teaching, you are going to be punished. The racial nationalistic Jacob Israel message is the most dangerous message on the surface of the earth. It will always be the most dangerous message to the Jew on the surface of the earth. It always has been, and it always is, and it always will be, and praise Yahweh for it. But don't let your heart wax faint on you. And understand that we are at war. I can show you in Revelations of John the Revelator, it said that Satan declared war upon the remnant of her seed, of Yahweh's seed, who have the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah, Emmanuel. On that remnant of the seed, there's a remnant who are going to be keepers of the keys. And there's going to be a great and bloody war, and we are in a war, and we are in a battle. And if we are not in a racial battle to death right now and have been, there's a problem if you cannot see it. And they cloak it through religion, and they cloak it through politics. And I'll guarantee you that religion has no place in our heart or in our mind because it's of Babylon. These laws and these statutes, judgments, and these ordinances are Yahweh's law to His race. We need no man's law. The lawgiver is our Father Yahweh. But we need judges and we need rulers, and the royal tribe of the house of Israel, the Germanic people, it said shall be what? They are the prince tribe. They are the ruling tribe. He said, also, ye are my battle axes and weapons of war, and with you shall I smite the nations and the principalities thereof. I will get into this later with another lecture, but I'll guarantee you this. I don't need a U.S. Congress. And I don't need a U.S. Senate. And I don't need a state capitol with state legislative bodies. I don't need a county with county commissioners. And I don't need a township board with people who think because they're men that they're going to put edicts and laws against my liberty and who I am and suppress my movement and my freedom. Because I'll tell you who gave me my freedom through his law was Yahweh. And under Yahweh is of the theocracy of Jacob, Israel. There are no men ruling nothing and making laws or edicts or code. Because the laws were given already to his people and they are written. And he said, write them in your heart. And keep them as frontlets before you. Put them upon your doorposts. And speak from morning to night. Speak one ye to another of these laws and of who you are. Now I know this, that any law that Yahweh gave to his people is perfect. And it has a divine purpose. But I can tell you that these scumbag faggots sitting out here in the District of Columbia, and these Jews, and all these people who are on big power surges when they get elected, making edict and property code and vehicle code and tax code and usury code and property code and building permits and everything else is of Nimrod. And there is nothing new under the sun. And again, we get back to this. What are the responsibilities to be a keeper of the keys? Your responsibility for the knowledge of who you are and who Yahweh is a responsibility to death. There's no retirement in this job, ladies and gentlemen. The only retirement you're going to get is when this spirit that dwells in your body is going to cross over that river. And you know something? I like that job occupation. Because I don't see how anyone who knows Yahweh and knows who they are would ever want to retire from this truth of teaching it and taking it forth to our people. Do you?
Amen.
I heard Sheldon Emery talk one time that he had to plan for his retirement. And I had a confrontation with Sheldon Emery. And I told him, you speak error to the people. There are two seed lines. There is the seed of the children of Yahweh, and there is the children of the serpent. And I will tell you, Sheldon Emery, to your face, and I was in Toledo, Ohio. I said, before the smoke clears, either you're going to be dead or I am, because you are teaching falsely to Israel. Oh, boy, did people come at me for that. They thought I was just terrible. Well, he's gone. And Yahweh says, I give life and I take life. But you've got the follow-uppers, the Pete Peters, and the Ted Whelans, and all the rest of the ball movement still talking at those things. And either they got a problem with race, or they're not pure race, or something down that line. But I'll tell you this, if there is no two seed lines, how can you have an Antichrist? Yahshua said he saw Satan come down as a flame of fire. Yahshua said to Satan, get behind me, Satan, no, not to tempt Yahweh thy God. That there is no Satan. Well, I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, they are my enemy. They teach error to Jacob Israel. And I may be fanatic and I love it. Because I love my Father Yahweh, and I love my Jacob Israel people, and I do not like lies and errors being taken to our people, because we are a peculiar people above all other peoples of the earth. And it said in the book of Isaiah that we are a holy seed upon this earth. Only we are the holy seed. And I'm not sharing that with anybody. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that responsibility is going to come with suffering. It's going to come with prison. It's going to come with guns on your head. And it's going to come with chains on your feet, maybe. It's going to come with a physical death. It's going to come with people coming to blaspheme you with words. But you remember this, you take this punishment from Yahshua and your blessings are going to come forth. There can be no blessings come forth to our people unless they obey the laws and the statutes, the commandments and the judgments of the Most High Yahweh. And unless they stay in tune with Him, there isn't going to be anything good. So what we have here with the Keeper of the keys are knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of who we are. Who are they given to? They can only be given to one race on this earth, and you're that. It is the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, Lombardic people of the earth. And the responsibility of having these keys is so precious that it's unto death. And if you aren't willing to carry these keys under those circumstances, then you're not worthy of these keys, because it means that you're not worthy and you don't think much of your race. Kingdom. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. What is this kingdom? Kingdom means rules and administration to Yahweh's people and His laws to Jacob Israel. That is a kingdom. It is a government. Yahweh, in a time to come that is close, is going to take what you call this present form of government, and He is going to take it and it is going to be revised into His government. But it is not going to be a political situation. It's going to be a racial situation. And don't you worry about land codes or a 1040 form or a sales tax or anything else like that, because it's all going bye-bye.
Hallelujah.
Yahweh says, my people are not to be taxed. They're not to be burdened with usury. Prosperity is to be given unto my people. The Zanoni. If you go back to the books of antiquity and you understand time and kingdoms and dynasties before Adam was brought to this earth, there were great empires and civilizations. They were called the Akkadian dynasties. They were called ancient Babylon prior to Nimrod. It was called Babylon with Nimrod. And Jeremiah tells you what you live in right today is the daughter of Babylon, which has taken on the entire aspect of Nimrod himself, with her holy high ruler priest sitting in the Vatican. It's called Judeo-Christianity. And you got a stinking Jew who's a pope over in Rome. His mother's name was Katz. You are the Zanoni. You are the children of the stars. Now I see there was quite a discovery over here at the Columbia River not long ago. They found skeletons, didn't they? Boy, there's a big rhubarb going on, ain't there? They found all these skeletons over there, and they're saying, "Ho, whoa, look what we got here. We found a big discovery over here. We better find out and make some examinations here and check these people out and see just who they are and what they are and how old they are." Well, I know they can't be over 7,500 years old if they're of us. Because Adam was brought here 5,500 years ago, and from A.D. to B.C. B.C. to A.D. is 2 years, and then we're up to 1997, so our race ain't been here really too long, but that's a long period of time, 7,500 years. But they stated that these people they found was about 7,500 to 9,500 years, didn't they? And they weren't Asiatic Indians, were they? No. They had our bodies, didn't they? And they said, "Oh boy, look at these people, were here before the others. Uh-oh, we got a problem now. Now who's a Native American?"
Yeah.
Indians get the money from the casinos and give it to us, the true Native Americans. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now this is what we have in being the Keeper of the Keys. You know, this is a hard message to a lot of people. You know, it's even hard to get people to stop eating pork. You ever notice that? I mean, you know, people don't like to give up their things. And I find it most interesting that when you start to talk to people about this truth that we live with, this racial truth, because it is racial truth, I mean racial truth, our people have been so flawed down that, see, we did all these things to the slaves, and we're the Gentiles, and the Bible's for the Jew, and Jesus was a Jew, and the Jews are God's chosen people, and they left too much room for us, haven't they? In this modern system, haven't they? And I'll guarantee you, when you find out who you are and who Yahweh is, that He is Yahshua, come in the flesh, you become a whole new entity. When He opens up that frequency on that electromagnetic receiver that's in your brain, you become a whole new person, a whole new concept of thinking. And then you start to get a little angry. Because I don't think anybody likes a liar. And these churches are full of them out here. They're called preachers of Judeo-Christianity. And I will guarantee you this, that Jeremiah and Isaiah, when they wrote for your admonition that they would all be destroyed, they're all going to be destroyed. And judgment shall start at the house of Israel. And judgment will start with these preachers and these lying priests and these Pharisees, Sadducees, politicians, and there's going to be a cleansing and an uprising in the land. And I will guarantee you, I want oppression upon our people. I want them driven out of their jobs. I want them to lose their farms. I want food shortages. I want all oppression to come against our people to get them down and get them so angry that they are ready for war. And we discussed this last night. This is how stupid the Jews really are. See, the Jews aren't smart. It's just that you've been told they are. The Jews are actually stupid. They're ignorant. They are the Nakash. They are the reptilian race. And for those of you who have never read the book, The Mystery of the Serpent by B.F. Jackson, I would recommend you read it. It is excellent. What they've done is they said they know who we are. See, the Jew knows who we are. And they know who they are because the rabbi tells them in their synagogues that they're a Cain. They tell them that all the time. So they say, well, we're going to fix these goy out here. They know that true Jacob, Israel, is goy. And their ultimate goal is to destroy us either through race mixing or drugs or booze or anything else like that. And what they've done to our young men is that they have oppressed them from making a livelihood. You ready? Are we ready? And taking, knowing who we are, and knowing that Jacob, Israel are men of war, the greatest warriors on the face of the earth, there's never been a warrior on this planet that can fight like our race. We can fight in the snow, we can fight in the jungles, we can fight in the deserts, we can fight anywhere and kill our enemy. We're acclimated to battle because we are the Most High's battle axes and weapons of war. And if these Jews weren't so stupid, and they are ignorant and stupid, and I love calling them that, they would be hiring all these young white men and giving them $18 to $25 an hour jobs to make sure they had new cars and homes and they had a lot of food so they would never listen to people like us. They are so greedy with their money and they hate us so bad that they want to suppress these young white people. Just don't give them jobs, starve them on the street, put them on the street. Make them look lower than low, and what they're doing is they're hardening the hearts of our young men to prepare them for battle. And that's good. And we're going to need that. Well, me to the book of John, John 1, for those of you who have your book. And we're going to proceed here with the Keeper of the Keys. You know, it's interesting, even the prophet Isaiah, a lot of you may not know, but they sawed him in half with a saw. Remember, it said that some of the prophets were sawn asunder and everything else? Well, that's how he died, but he died living with this truth. They thought they could saw him in half with a big saw and that they were going to shut it up, but it didn't work. And I'd like to read to you in John 1, 1 to 49, and take a little walk here as a keeper of the keys. And I said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. And the same was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of Adam. They got men. He said, He is the light of the world. He is the light to His race. He is not a light to all races and all people, because it tells you also in Matthew, I come only, said Yahshua, for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and He is only a light to us. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. And what is that darkness? That darkness is a present political, financial, and religious system of the daughter of Babylon, that is totally controlled by the Nakash, the reptilian people called Jews today. And you say, well, that's terrible. You're calling them reptiles. Yeah, they're lizards.
Snakes.
They're snakes and lizards. And I'll tell you what, they have the stringy blood corpuscles. And if you were to check their fingerprints, they have a swirl on their fingerprints that are unlike anybody else on the earth. They are not of you, and they never have been, and they never will be. And their characteristics in all ways are different from you, including the electromagnetic vibration of energy that comes from their stinking, filthy, dirty carcass. And we're not all equal. Well, verse 6. Now there was a man sent from Yahweh whose name was John. And this same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all Adam through him might believe. Believe what? Thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To believe Him, His laws, and who we are. Verse 8, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every Adam that cometh into the world. What do you mean, every Adam that cometh into the world? How about that spirit energy that dwelleth in you through the etheric that comes from another dimension into the third physical dimension, into that flesh body? Could it be that etheric body that at MIT they ran all these spectroscopes and ultraviolet tests with cameras and lenses, when these people would give their lives to science and the progression of science, and they'd lay these people down that were near death, and they'd put all their monitors, they put ultraviolet cameras up and everything, and when that body died and the last gasp of air left their lungs, that this cloud that was invisible to the human eye, because see, our vision cannot go to infrared or ultraviolet, because it's a different dimension. And a cloud would come up out of that body and hover over that body for about 30 to 40 seconds and go straight up right through the roof. Boom! What was that energy? Let me tell you what it was. It was you. Because you're of that same energy. We are of that light. Light is energy, it's frequency. You radiate that light. And if you're a keeper of the keys, you have bright light. It's like a big beacon. And no Jews, these reptile and lizards, don't like that bright light. I've had Catholic bishops come against me. I've had all these prostitutes of Judeo-Christianity come against me, and they were told point blank, they're all going to die. They may not die by my hand, but if I ain't here, you get a bunch of them for me. Well, let's read on. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. No, this world system knew him not. But he came unto his own, and in a way his own received him not. How many of our own don't want to receive us with this truth? Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. The sons of Yahweh, even to them that believe upon his name. And that name is Yahshua, it is Yahweh, it is Prince of Peace. And it is a mighty God of war. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh. What does that mean? They were born of Yahweh. What does that mean? He told you, I give life and I take life. I have brought you forth into this terra firma that you call the third dimension, this physical, molecular third dimension. All other dimensions are not solid except the third. He said, I give life and take life. You were born by the will of the Most High to come forth at this time because he so decreed it. Does not the book of Hebrews tell you that even the great rulers and the kings and the princes of our people long for the end time to be able to be here where we sit today to see what's going to happen? The manifestation of the greatness of what's going to happen is thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and kingdom is government of laws, rules, statutes, and ordinances of the Most High to his people Jacob Israel. That's what they long for. But by his will have you come here. By his will are you sitting here. By his will has he chosen you, and you have not chosen him to come out of darkness. Well, let's read on. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Now, isn't that interesting how they can say that Jesus was the Son of God, and then there's a God, and then there's Buddha, and then there's Muhammad? How they can say that Jesus was the Son of God when it says that the Word was Yahweh, and Yahweh, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and Yahshua is Yahweh, and Yahweh was our spiritual father, and he came out of his dimensions, and he came down in a flesh body in the third dimension, and the Word became flesh as Emmanuel, of God being with you. Isn't that hard? Isn't that difficult to understand? They say, well, of course, no, Jesus is the Son of God. See, there's God up there, and all the other people can believe in him too. And Jesus is the Son of God, and you're the Gentiles, and the Jews are the chosen people. And these people, they go out to these old whorehouses and Judeo-Christianity out here, paying to get it. And they get up there, and they just line right up, and they just take them shovels of cow manure and just feed them all day, don't they? Well, let me tell you, there's responsibility with this truth. And that responsibility takes you to war. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in a war whether you like it or not. And you are in a war and you're not getting out of that war. Myself, I think it's good. Well, let's read on here. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now you see the translator put something in here. You can scratch it out. You see the parenthesis there that was never in the original. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. That it was never in there. Verse 14 should be, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Some scribe put that other stuff in there. Some Catholic monk. Verse 15, and John bear witness to him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And we're going back to the basics, back to the basics of racial nationalism as Jacob Israel. We do not want any of man's law or For if we do, we deny Yahweh our Father and the laws that He wrote for us. He is the lawgiver. Under a theocracy, you have rulers, and He has already decreed that Judah would be the kings and the rulers, right, Dick? And then He told you that you were to have priests and judges. But you can never find anywhere where He says that you are to delegate men to make laws against you as a Congress and a Senate and a state legislative body and a county board or anything else. Because His laws are already given to us, and there's not a man on this earth who can better that law. Well, let's read on. Verse 16, and His fullness have we all received in grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yahshua. No man has seen Yahweh at any time, which is in the bosom, He has declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, who are you? Verse 20, and He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not Yahshua. And they asked Him, what then are you? Are you Elijah? And He said, no, I'm not Elijah either. Art thou that prophet? And He said, no. They were looking for Him. And I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, the Jews are looking for Enoch and Elijah right to this day because they know that they're coming. And they're terrified. Well, let's read on. Verse 22. Then said they unto Him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? They said, listen, you know, Henry Kissinger and Rockefeller sent us, and Greenspan from the Federal Reserve, and they want to know who you are. They're worried about you. Because you're teaching these people and doing things that are contrary to this system, and there's a rumbling in the road. Who are you? Well, let's read on. Verse 23. He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yahweh, as said the prophet of Isaiah. And they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked Him and said unto Him, why murmurest thou then, if thou be not that Emmanuel, nor Isaiah, or neither that prophet? They were looking for Elijah. And believe me, they're looking for Elijah. And I don't know if I'd want to be them to find him. Verse 26, John answered them saying, I emerged with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the river Jordan, where John was emerging. I can remember in 1987, when Reverend Butler and Bob Miles were at their sedition trial, there was a feast day. And my dear old friend, Pastor Newman Britton, was with me, with other people, and we were assembled at Tigerton, Wisconsin, and there were well over 200 people in that hall. Is this true? And we were monitoring that trial and that jury continually. And we lifted up and we brought all these racial identity teachers up in front, and everyone joined hands and they lifted their hands, and we lifted up prayer to Yahweh for freedom and liberty to be given to Reverend Butler and everybody in the name of Yahweh. And you could feel almost like electricity went through that entire hall at that feast day.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shortly thereafter that we made a phone call, didn't we, Newman? And we were told that the verdict came out and that jury came out and they said innocent on all counts, and everyone rejoiced and praised Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
And I will tell you right now that it was Yahweh who gave the freedom and liberty and the innocence to Reverend Butler. I give Him all that glory, all that dominion, because without our Father Yahweh, it could have never happened to be as it was. Well, let's read on. Verse 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. to Israel, not that litter box in the Mideast. Israel was Jacob. He had all his sons. They were all become nations 2,540 years from the time they come out of captivity. 2,540 years from the time Manasseh came out of captivity was July 4, 1776, when the United States of America became forth as the Manasseh nation, the son of Joseph. 2,520 years, that's the time that Judah came out of captivity, Germany became a great nation in the earth. 2,520 years from the time that Asher came out of captivity, Sweden became a great nation in the earth. And these reptile Jews out here, these Nakash, they have the audacity to stand forth and say that they are the sons and the daughters of Yahweh, these ugly serpent-like reptiles. Well, we talk about blasphemy. Well, let's read on. Verse 32, and John bared record, saying, I saw the Spirit of energy descend from the heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, that he that had sent me to emerge with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which emerges with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the seed of Yahweh. Not the Son of God, the seed of Yahweh on the earth. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Yahshua as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Yahshua. Then Yahshua turned and saw them following, and he said unto them, What do you want? What seek you? And they said unto him, Master, where dwellest thou? Where are you going? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And he first found his own brother Simon and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Emmanuel, Yahshua. Verse 42, and he brought him into Yahshua, and when Yahshua beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by the interpretation of stone. Verse 43, the day following, Yahshua would go forth into Galilee and find Philip, and he said unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Arsadia, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip, finding Nathanael, said unto him, We have found him. We have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Yahshua of Nazareth, the seed of Joseph. We have found him whom Moses wrote about. Who did Moses write about? He wrote about Yahweh, that he would come into the flesh, because the book of Hebrews says that Moses, he gave up all the esteem of Egypt, what? To be with Yahshua, Jesus. 46, and Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, near Nazareth was Kerioth, and that was a slum. That was a Jew slum. That was like New York, but it was smaller. The Jew slum. That was Kerioth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see. You know, they said Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. This is the translators. No, his name was Judas. There was no last name. It was either you were Richard of Hayden Lake, or his name was Judas, and he was an Iscariot. His name was Judas Iscariot. He was an Ish man. He was Judas, the Ish of Kerioth. What church is a Judeo-Christian church? 47. And Yahshua saw Nathanael coming and said to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no God. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? I've never met you. Well, here he was looking at Yahweh in a flesh body who knows all and sees all. And Yahshua answered and said, Before that Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. He said, I know all about you, Nathanael. I know what you're thinking, and I know what's going through your mind, and I know where you've been and what you've done. In fact, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. 49. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Master, thou art Yahshua, thou art the King of Israel. He knew he was looking at, and he wasn't looking at no Son of God. He was looking at Yahweh in a flesh body. Well, so what we have here is we have a 5,500 transition of time from Adam to Yahshua coming to us. We are back to the basics. We've got to go back to the basics. And sometimes we get away from the basics. Because we're always going out here, or we've got people who want to delve off into there, because Yahshua said, go neither unto the right or to the left, but keep your path straight with Yahweh. And this is what a keeper of the keys is. He keeps his eyes on Yahshua and upon Yahshua's law. And he keeps his eyes on racial nationalism. And he keeps his eyes and his heart, knowing we are at war with this reptile race upon this earth. And you better burn that into your head. We are at war with the reptile Nakash race of this earth. And this is what we have as a problem. Well, let's go to the book of Daniel real quick, for those of you who have the book. And we're going to go to Daniel chapter 12. I'll tell you something. When they grab you sometime and they beat on you and they drag you, and they want to break you, and they throw you in holes with bugs, I will tell you the greatest friend you can have under those circumstances is knowing Yahweh.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't know Him, you're going to break Him. And they'll break you. They'll do everything in their power to break you.
And if you know Him, they can't break you.
And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up. What time is this? This is the end time. Michael shall stand up. Who is the prince of war? The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. It is written that it will get so bad, that it will be so bad, it shall so bad as never before or shall ever be again. It will get so bad that those of our race who have refused this truth of knowing who they are and who Yahweh is will eat their children when this thing comes down. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. What is that written in the book? Go back to Ezekiel, and he said to the scribe, take your inkwell and your pen and go down, mark those on the head that I want to stay alive. Nothing's going to touch them. And they told him to mark the other ones that are going to get iced. There are a whole bunch of them. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3, and they that be wise. Now if you go to your center concordance and you look up that word wise, it said teachers. And they that be teachers shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn me into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And this is the keeper of the keys. That he is going to pour out upon you a blessing that you can't even fathom at this time. Verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end, because many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. What is that knowledge? It takes you back to Hosea, where it says there was no knowledge of Yahweh in the land. Is that true? that there was stealing and lying and killing, and he also told you there was interracial mongrelization, that blood was touching blood. Is this right? But now Daniel said that knowledge shall be increased. The beginning of all knowledge is to fear Yahweh. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood another two, one on one side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be the end of these times? How many people have you come up and you're talking about all these storms and famines and a string of hurricanes hitting the west coast that we talked about last night that is unprecedented in history? Up around from in northern Michigan, on the Big Lake, we got thunder in October. Unheard of. In Minnesota, in the Dakotas last year, an entire city of 50,000 people was 26 feet over flood stage, and the whole city is destroyed. And they won't show you pictures of it. The whole city is destroyed. Let me repeat. The whole city is destroyed. 52,000 population. 26 feet above flood stage. They said it was impossible. The whole city is destroyed. And nothing is impossible with Yahweh. Verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and half a time, and when she shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not then, that I, O Yahweh, what shall be the end of these things? You notice everybody wants to know what's going to happen. They don't want to know the beginning, they want to know the ending. And I will guarantee you, if they don't put some food away pretty quick, they're going to have a real ending. Amen. And I will guarantee you there's going to be famine and floods within the next 2 years across this land that the people can't even comprehend. And I will be discussing and talking about this in another lecture later today of the electromagnetic storms and interference of things that are to be. Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end of this evil age. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Let's take that word wise. We're going back to verse 3. Wise are teachers, the teachers are the keepers of the keys, and the wise, the keepers of the keys, will understand. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You understand these things, O Israel. Verse 11, and from the time of the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. And what was that time that the daily sacrifice was taken away? Was when Yahshua was crucified. He was the last sacrifice. And the abomination that maketh desolate set up there should be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou away till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days. And I'm going back to verse 3 here. And they that be wise and are teachers and are keepers of the keys shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. And what is that turning them to righteousness? It's knowing who their father Yahweh is. It's knowing who true Jacob Israel is. It's identifying these Nahash reptile Jews as being the serpent children with the long stringy blood corpuscles and the swirl of their fingerprints. You think we're not going to find them? I will tell you, we'll find them all. If we have to fingerprint them all, we will find them. And we will fulfill what Enoch wrote us to do, that in that day, not only in Zechariah, that a Cainite would not be in the house of Yahweh, but Enoch said that every man, woman, and child of Cain, who is the Esau Edom, is modern Jewry, there would not be a Jew, man, woman, or child left on the face of the earth. And this is what it's all about. I'm going to just turn a couple pages from Daniel and go into Hosea real quick, chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. And you better learn to be a battle axe and weapon of war. And I pray your coup is great. And I'll tell you, David was a great warrior, your ancestor. And I tell you, you take the blood of your enemy and you put them in your shoes and dance in their blood. For all these abortions and death and murder and mayhem, and for the travesty that they did to our German people when they took them young girls and women and put them in the subways and brought these Afrikaans in to rape and molest them. And then Mongolian hordes, when they persecuted and destroyed the beauty of Judah. And don't you have apathy or pity? Don't you relinquish your sword upon them? And in that day, not a Canaanite shall be left in the house of Yahweh. 1 10 of Hosea 1, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. Does that sound like Judaism? Which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them that you are the sons of the living Yahweh. That was the increase of knowledge. Verse 11, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, and they will appoint unto them one head. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be that day. You ain't going to have no Congress. Congress. To con you. You're going to have a U.S. Senate full of faggots and Jews. And Barney Frank. And Feinstein. All these reptile people. These ugly people. The ugly people. The lizard people. Remember that show they had, the lizard people, about 8 to 10 years ago? That was all about these Jews. All these beautiful people. They're not beautiful, they're ugly. They're the ugliest people in the world. And they're the filthiest and the most demented. And I'll guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, that this prophecy and these sayings will come true. And that we will have a land of peace. But I will tell you again that you adhere to that first commandment, that Yahweh thy Elohim, Yahweh Yahshua shall be foremost in your mind. He shall become before anyone or anything. Whether it's your wife or your girlfriend or your children or your materialism or anything, Yahweh is to come forth in your life before anyone or anything. And if you feel it's a sacrifice or too bad, then you walk now and get out and go join the Nahash. Yahweh said, Yahweh, come before anyone or anything. You are here for my pleasure. And if you want to be his friend, you obey him. And he'll give you a great coup. So in being a keeper of the keys, it isn't easy. But we've got to go back to the basics. And we have got to say, thank you, Dr. Swift. Thank you, Bertrand Compray. Thank you, William Gale. Thank you, Richard Butler. Thank you, Newman Britton. And thank all of you out there who are teaching racial nationalism of Jacob Israel. Thank you for your time and for the suffering and for the pain in many ways that you've gotten. But we want to thank these people. And we want to raise them up as our heroes. Not Franklin Roosevelt. And this is the keeper of the keys. And if you want to wear that keychain, you wear it. You better understand what you're going to take on when you wear it. And don't you deviate to the right or to the left. And don't you water down nothing. And don't you ever tell me that the Jews are our half-brothers. And I'm telling you that this Pete Peters and Whelan and the rest of this ball movement out there is my enemy. Because they teach error to our people. Thank you for coming. It's good to see a lot of young Teutonic warriors here. Hebrew warriors, I like to call them Hebrew warriors. Because those are the great warriors, right? And I want to thank Reverend Richard Butler for allowing us to come here. And we are going to ask an offering here later after this next break for his generosity of us coming here and sharing this land. And we want to ask a blessing to go forth on all the prisoners in the dungeons and the jails that know who Yahweh is and who they are. And that peace come upon them. And let's just pray with all our heart and all our strength and all our soul that those prison gates can be cast down and they can come out. And that all this prison of invisible bars can be gone from around us. And we can exalt Yahweh. I thank Yahweh for the man who invented the D9 bulldozer and the backhoes that we can bury this people with when we take it against them. Jacob, Israel, people, the teachers of the Most High. We ask that you be with those who could not be here, Father, who desire to be here. We ask a blessing upon them and their women and their children, upon their homes and their substance. We ask that you put your Holy Spirit into their heart. We ask that you gird them for battle, for the war that we are in, Father, is the war that has been declared from so long ago. And let this big battle and victory be for your glory, for your victory, for your honor, for your dominion to your people. We ask a blessing upon Richard Butler and New Britain and all these other 2C-line racial nationalistic teachers of your truth. We ask a blessing and plead the blood of Yahshua at Golgotha upon this land and upon this building, that you will protect it, that you will send your archangel, Father of Fire, to protect it at all times. Be with us now and guide us, and we ask this all in the great, powerful name of Yahweh, and we ask this to give you all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
We've got a great man to speak to us today. We're going to have lunch, and we'll resume at what time?
1:30.
So everybody, take the thoughts in your hearts, and we'll see you and commune with one another at 1:30.